So we are going to continue our sermon series. Don't worry, it's short and sweet, just like all the kids, all right? So we're going to continue our series. We do want to hear what the from the scriptures this morning, kind of see how they can speak into our lives. I tried to gear the sermon towards families and kids, but in the end, it just ended up applying to all of us. So really, that's the way all scripture is. So we are continuing what our series is called Verses to Live By. As you can see, all of these families, they chose a verse that they want their child to live by. And we're looking at some of those verses throughout the scriptures. And we've seen a number of them in Old Testament and in the New Testament. This morning we're going to be looking at a verse in the book of Philippians that's in the New Testament. And we're just going to see kind of what God reveals to us from that scripture. We're going to be continuing this series for a few more weeks, and so if you have a scripture just spoken into your life, we encourage you to put that scripture on our Facebook page so that others can be blessed by it, and if we're able to, we'll even look at that scripture and put it into the sermon. So go ahead and continue to do that. Thank you guys who have done that so far. Last little announcement is the previous sermons are on iTunes and Google Play for these verses to live by, so go ahead and you can download those. But this morning, we're going to look at the scriptures, as I mentioned. It's in the first chapter of Philippians, and it's a verse that I believe, and I know that it encouraged perhaps millions of people for thousands of years. In this, the book of Philippians is actually, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to an entire church. The church is found in Philippi, and in this letter, we see these words of encouragement. Paul is writing to this church, similar to our church. And he's writing from far away to encourage this church. He's also writing words of wisdom. And in this scripture that we're going to look at, we're going to see also words of hope. So these are things that we need, like encouragement and wisdom and hope. These are things that can really speak into our lives. So we're going to see a reminder of the truth that many times we fail to remember. We can get caught up in life, or we can get busy in life, and we fail to remember some of these truths. So Paul's kind of going to remind us this morning about these things. And one last thing I wanted to say to kind of introduce the scripture for this morning. The person who wrote this letter to the church of Philippi, his name is Paul, as I mentioned. Well, Paul had an amazing experience, a life-altering experience in his life. He had witnessed the risen Jesus Christ in his own life. And after that experience, he was really just set on fire for God. He had this passion to let everybody know what he has seen. What he knows, he wants you to know. What he's experienced, he wants you to experience. And so this is part of Paul's pouring his life out into the churches. And so we're blessed to be able to kind of see the mind and the heart of Christ even 2,000 years later through this letter. So that's kind of like the intro. So with that, let me read the scripture, and then we'll dive into it. I'm going to actually start at first in Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. I'm just going to give you a little bit of context of the life verse that's kind of nestled in the middle of that. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 is up on the board. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So when I read the scripture, this is kind of put it in context. We're only going to focus on one verse found in verse 6. But when I read the scripture, I get the impression that this is something that every one of us needs to hear. I mean, Paul literally was pouring his heart and soul into this letter. So for the next few minutes, let me share with you just three things. Again, it's going to be short and sweet. Let me share with you three things from this verse that will, if you allow it to, it could change your life for all of eternity. Here's the three things that we're going to talk about briefly. First of all, in this letter, Paul speaks of a finished product. Like, what will we look like when God fulfilled, when our lives come to complete? He talks about a finished product. Second, Paul speaks of a confidence that we can have right here now in our own life. And then third, Paul speaks of the day of Christ Jesus. So there's a finished product, and then there's a confidence, and then there's a day of Christ Jesus. So let me quickly just share these three things in these verses. I think it will bless you. And Paul wrote it to bless the church, but to bless us as well. So Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So first, according to the wisdom and the knowledge and the truth of the Bible, we are not yet a finished product. Like, this is what the Bible tells us. We're not a finished product. God began a good work in us when when he created us. He actually began it before he created us, but he began a good work in us when he created us. He's currently, right now, still working in our lives according to the scriptures. And on one day, that good work will come to a completion. One day, that good work of God will come to a completion into our lives. In other words, we have not yet fully arrived at our God-designed potential. We have not yet fully arrived at our God-designed potential. And for some of you, you may think that you have arrived. You may be less successful. People may look up to you. You may be talented. You may be wealthier, or whatever you think is successful. But according to the Bible, you're not at completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Like, you're not at completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, whether you know this or not, like, this is great news. I mean, this is, like, really excellent news. Let me demonstrate. Let me tell you why. So those of you who think that you have arrived, like you're the best that you can ever be at life, like you're at your peak, there's a whole new level out there for you. I mean, this is, the Bible talks about a whole new level that God has in store for you. This is a little plug. At 10 a.m., we're studying heaven. Like, when God comes to completion in your life, like, he's going to offer you this amazing, amazing thing that is called heaven, and you're going to be with him, and we're exploring that at 10 a.m. in 97 Madison First Floor. If you want to know about heaven, this is your chance to learn about that. And these are this is something that you haven't arrived yet, but when you arrive, like, these are the things that God's going to do in your life and offer you. God has amazing things in store for us. Like, this is a promise of the Bible. And also, the Bible tells us that God's not done with us yet. He's not done with your life. Just wait, there's more. Like one of those, there's more. And kind of on the flip side of that, like, some of us are, we don't think that we're there yet. We don't think that we're right. Some of us are, like, at the rock bottom of our life. Right? Like, this is, I mean, there's no light. Like, we're just at the bottom of our life. This message is for you as well. This scripture is telling us that God is not done with us. God is not done with us. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know if anybody here needs to hear this message, but here it goes, the summary, the breakdown of this point, that your greatest days are yet to come. Your greatest days are yet to come. They're still ahead. And this is kind of the way I wanted to illustrate this. Like, think of your fondest, your greatest moment of all time. Like, your best memory in all of your life. Like, maybe as your child being born, maybe as your first kiss. Like, I don't know if that's your best memory or your greatest memory. Maybe it was a moment that you believed in Jesus Christ. Like, it just kind of clicked and you were like, yes, I know. I believe that he's God. Maybe it's that moment. But whatever your greatest moment is, like, multiply times 1,000. Like, we're talking in terms of eternity here. We're talking in terms of living an amazing, holy life in heaven. We're talking about God just totally, radically transforming your life. Like, think of your happiest moment and then just know that God is still working above that. Like, he has so much to offer you. This is the way that Paul, the same person who wrote this letter, he writes another church in Corinth, and he says this And this is in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and he says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has even conceived, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Like, this is amazing. This is that God is still working in our life, and our greatest days are yet to come. They lie ahead of us, because he who began a good work in you and me and all of us will carry it on to completion into the day of Christ Jesus. Be encouraged by this. Like, no matter if you're at the bottom of the valleys, know that God is still at work. And kind of like to follow up with that, Paul in 1 Philippians 1:6, he mentions this thing called confidence. And that's the second thing that I want to share with you guys. He talks about a confidence. And he says, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul speaks of this word confidence. Like, this is something that we could all like use, like confidence. Like, I love to be around people who have confidence. Like, I like all types of people. Like people, I don't know if you agree with me, but people who are confident are fun to be around. Like, if they have this can-do, like, attitude. Like, I don't know if you guys have, maybe you're that person. If you are, I want to hang out with you more. But if you have friends, like, you know, you don't want to hang out with downers, right? Like, you want to hang out with those confident people. Like, they have something, like, this strength that comes from something else. One of my best friends, his name is Ray, and he's actually a missionary in North Africa right now, but Ray always had this, like, can-do attitude. He was kind of a surfer dude, and just whatever. He was like, let's go do it now. And I'm like, okay. So I usually just followed him, and he was awesome. I mean, like, I think I shared a camping trip. I went on with Ray one time. It was, like, freezing. It was below freezing. We had bad equipment, like, sleeping bags were warm enough. It was raining. It was horrible. And Ray's like, let's do it. Like, okay. He had this confidence, and I followed him. It was a disaster trip, but we went. I fell in the river. I think it's probably my first sermon. I fell in the river. I probably got like 30 tick bites. Not kidding. It's horrible. But I followed him because he had this confidence, and it's a heck of a story. But so when we have this confidence, it gives us like this extra pep in ourselves. And Paul is talking about a confidence that we can have. Like, and it's a confidence where you're not like afraid to try new things, or maybe you have this boldness to go to new places. Confidence is honestly like trying to define confidence. It's like you're drawing from a source other than yourself. Like, that's what confidence, you're drawing from a source like other than yourself. And Paul says in verse 6 that we can be confident in life because God is working in our lives. Like, he's saying that God is working in our lives so we can have this amazing confidence. God was there in the beginning, God is there now, and God will be there when we finally reach completion. Be confident because God has our lives in our hands. That's basically what he's saying. And note the stated and the also implication behind Paul's letter here. He's telling us that someone else is working on your behalf in your life. I mean, that's the basic gist of Paul's letter in this verse, specifically in 1:6. Paul is telling us that someone else is working on our behalf in our own life. Like, isn't that amazing? Like, that's cool. Like, I know. When we try to do things by ourselves, like, we just kind of, if it fails, we just lose this confidence. We're like, where do I draw my confidence from now? And Paul is telling me, you can draw confidence because God is working in your life. You know, like my daughter, you just met her. She's in this curiosity phase where she sees us do something and she wants to do it. Recently, she's in a key phase. Like, she grabs keys and she tries to unlock all the doors. And it's really cute, but she's trying to unscrew the screw hole instead of the keyhole, but she won't listen. I've been trying to help her, and I'm like, hey, let me just put it in that hole, and not the screw hole, and she won't listen to me because she has like this confidence, like, I got this, Dad, but she'll never unlock that door, you know, like, even though the key strangely gets stuck in the screw hole, I don't know how, but like, she thinks that she's like, yay! And I'm like, no, you didn't do it. But she has this confidence. But the weird thing is, I'm standing right next to her trying to help her. She's like, no, I got it. And sometimes that's the way, like, we are with God. Like, we're trying to unlock the door, but we're totally, like, not even gonna have the keyhole. Like, we just got this key, it's a fake hole. I don't know what that. And so sometimes grown-ups are like kids in grown-up clothing. You ever think about that? Like, we're trying to do things by ourselves. Like, we draw from this confidence of ourselves. Like, we never really even think about that. God's like right there waiting to help us. He's helping. He's willing to guide our minds and our hearts and even our actions. He's willing to give us all of these things that we need. Paul says this, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. God's got this. This is Paul's message to the church and to us. God is still working in our lives. Be confident, as I mentioned, confidence in yourself can only go so far, but confidence in God can lead you into eternity. That's the door I'm talking about opening. That God's knocking, and that's the confidence that God is willing to, like, unlock that door for you. Stop messing around with the little screw holes, you know, like, let God help you open that door to eternity. Let me just do this last point. Paul mentioned in this letter, he mentioned something called the day of Christ Jesus. And this is the last point I want to share with you guys. So he's saying that God will bring our lives to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Now, if you're new to the church, you may not know like what that day is. Like, what is the day of Christ Jesus? It's not a day like named after Jesus. It's not like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Jesus Day. It's not a day of the week. It's also not something that was a past event. Like, it hasn't happened yet. Like, the day of Christ Jesus is a future event. And it's something that is going to happen. And when it happens, like, the whole world is going to know that it's happened. It's not something that's small. This is the way that Jesus, like, describes the day of Christ, well, his own day. It's found in Matthew 24, 29-31. I don't have it on the board, but just listen to me as I read the words of Jesus. He describes the day of Christ Jesus. And he says this, and he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not shed its light. The stars will fall from the sky. These are the words of Jesus. And the celestial powers will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the peoples of the earth, they will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet. And they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of the sky to the other. Now, if you didn't know what the day of Christ Jesus is, this is it. This is what it is. It is the day that Jesus returns. Like, we in the church, we always talk about the resurrection. I mean, this is really what Easter is about, Resurrection Sunday. But there's actually another, we call it the second coming, like the parousia. It's called the day of the Lord. It's like when Jesus is coming back a second time. And Jesus, I just read his own words, like what it's going to look like. And so Paul is telling us that on the day of Christ Jesus, we will be complete. Like, God is working in our life up until that day. You know, this is kind of like what worldly knowledge and godly knowledge kind of like deviate. Like, they take separate paths. Like, according to worldly knowledge, like, when the wisdom of this world, when we die, like, everything just comes to a screeching halt. Like, that's it. We're dead. Like, we're worm food. You know? All of our good works, all of our efforts, like, everything that we've achieved in our own life, it just ends. Because death has put a stop to our lives. But according to godly wisdom and what the Bible tells us, at the end of our lives, we are complete. Like, you see the difference there. Like, it may be subtle, but it's great. Like, one, the world says that when we die, like, this is over. But Paul is telling us that when we die, or when Christ comes back, the day of the Lord, Christ Jesus, whichever comes first, like, we are complete. God's working in our life to this completion. Like, he wants us to be complete. Like, he's still there. He began it. He's in there. And now he will bring it to completion. And this is kind of where I want to complete my sermon. Like, bring it to a conclusion. Bring it to a full circle. If you're struggling with your sin, if you're struggling with sin, like, in your lives today, if you just can't, if you have, like, addictions or whatever sin you may have in your life, be confident of this, that God is still working in your life. Let me say it one last time, just let it sink in. God is still working in your life. And one day, either when our physical bodies die or the day of Christ Jesus, whichever comes first, he who began a good work in you will carry his work to completion. And you still have to, I know a lot of, when I was studying this, I read a lot, and some people were saying, oh, well, that just means we don't have to do anything because God's going to complete it. Like, well, that's not, I just want to cover that very briefly. Paul, a few verses later, he actually says, that's not the case. He says, you can't just let like God complete, like you're like, you have to do something yourself. And he tells these same people in verse 127, he says, to live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. Like, God's going to complete your life, like he's working in your life, but you, your responsibility, like your covenant part, is live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's just kind of found in verses 127. I had to include that. But someone greater than you is working in your life on your behalf. That's the encouragement that we get from our scripture this morning. You don't have to do it alone. Have confidence that God is working in your life. You are not alone. Be reminded that God is still investing in your life. Let's go ahead, let's stand up, and we're going to read this scripture. I want you guys to, kind of as a habit to, if you can, memorize these verses. Most of them are short. Adopt them as your own life verse. These are, you can pray these back to God. You can encourage your own self. You can remind your own self. You can tell other people about the good news of God. And this is one way to do it, by these life verses. Let's read this as a church together. Philippians 1:6.
Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen. You can be seated, and I'm going to close this in time of prayer. Father God, it's a joy, God, to see this amazing reminder in your scripture, Father, that you have not abandoned us, God. That you are still working in our lives, whether we think we arrived or whether we're at the lowest valleys, God, there is still more to come. God, like, you're not done with us, God. And you haven't abandoned us. You're coming back in the day of the Lord Christ Jesus. And until that time, you're still working in our lives, God. And this is an amazing encouragement. Father, I pray that as a church that we will remember and be reminded by your words and your scripture here. Pray that this encourages us, Father, to walk even more boldly in our life, Father, and in our faith with you. God, we thank you for this reminder. May it bless us. May it remind us. May it glorify your name in our own life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.